So those, so you can follow this as much as you want also. But it's one person's particular enthusiasm for Krishna consciousness being expressed in this way. And that's what I wanted to emphasize in this course, something really practical, even to the point of advocating particular practices within Krishna consciousness. And being practical about it also. So that we can know, well, if it's good, then how do you do it? What do you actually do? And so on. I may stop a little short of being very practical because it's a personal thing, and I'll explain that a little later today. But at least you can know it has practical aspects. So this is personal prayer today. Yesterday we discussed Shastric prayer. So I wrote a little definition. Personal prayer, I mean a confidential revealing of the mind to Krishna in conversation, not using prepared or memorized statements, but speaking spontaneously. And the main topic of this prayer is your desire to render the Lord loving service. And then I looked that over yesterday, and then I added to it like a sort of alternative short definition, or to be with him. And that seems to be one of the important aspects of personal prayer and Krishna consciousness, which is not heavy on requests, like please give me this, please give me that. Prabhupada talks about the prayers to the demigods are like that, especially some to Kali, where they keep addressing her in every line, Devi, and then making their requests. Something, Devi, give me this, Devi, give me that, Devi. And the prayer is just a list of material requests. But we want to be with Krishna. And it's available by this method in an immediate, direct way. So that's another way of saying what its purpose is. Now, I've heard a devotee express a doubt as to the place of personal prayer in Krishna consciousness. That was when I told you about the how there was discussion about Gajendra's prayer. Someone said, well, we should only pray the Shastric prayers. We shouldn't presume that we can make a better prayer than is in the Shastras. So that's not recommended. Praying should be confined to reciting the Uttama Shlokas. If there was any personal prayer, that could only be done by a very advanced devotee. So, I say this is not a fact, and I produce evidence already in Prabhupada's statements, like the one I read in this morning, about the, even if we cannot pray like Lord Brahma, we should go forward, putting aside our reluctance at being unqualified and so on. And if one doesn't have a life of personal prayer, then he neglects a source of great solace and inspiration in rendering devotional service to Guru and Krishna. Now that may be what I say, but what does Prabhupada say? He's the criteria, the standard. So I have some more statements by Prabhupada to whatever I've ever already given. First one occurs in the book called Rajavidya. Prabhupada says, in addition to giving and receiving in the execution of devotional service, one has to submit to Krishna whatever distress or confidential problem he has. He should say, Krishna, I am suffering in this way. I have fallen in this tossing ocean of material illusion. Kindly pick me up. It's interesting, Prabhupada says he should say, and then what he gives is not exactly, oh, here's another formula, I'll use this as my prayer. But he's giving you an idea, you should pray, but here's how you should pray. Because he says, Krishna, I am suffering in this way. In what way? You have to fill that in when you make your prayer, when you speak from your heart. to Krishna, kindly pick me up. So that recommendation, Mary Prabhupada, is as direct as you can get. He said, in addition to the giving and receiving, so the service is already going on. And I experienced that in when I first began rendering service to Prabhupada. I was typing and he was taking it. And then he said, this isn't mechanical, you know. If you love me, then I will love you. So in addition to giving and receiving service to the Lord, you should also be speaking to him about your particular suffering and desire to be picked up by Krishna. It's not that Krishna doesn't like or want to hear from us, or that there's no access to him. But here's our founder Acharya saying, do it. Say it. I am suffering in this way. Please pick me up. Is it boring? Is it bitter? No. He's available. And it indicates also that even a devotee who is struggling can do this if he's having problems. Now I have another one. This comes from Lord Brahma's prayers for protection in the purport. Brahma, as the supermost Brahmana, is afraid of a fall down, and therefore he prays to the Lord for protection. This is a warning to one and all in the spiritual advancement of life. Unless one is sufficiently protected by the Lord, he may fall down from his spiritual position. Therefore, one has to pray constantly to the Lord for protection and the blessing to carry out one's duty. So hardly if a personal prayer is for somebody only very, very advanced, but one who's thinking that I have, please Krishna, please protect me, please save me from Maya, and is advised that unless you do this all the time, you may fall down. The example of the exalted devotee Brahma is given for us to follow, that if he does it, he's asking for protection all the time, Krishna, please protect me. We've heard Srila Prabhupada say that he has done that. So then we should do it. We who have so much less strength. And again, my previous point about just being with Krishna is just, well, if you are with Krishna, then there's nothing to fear, even if something does happen bad. You can rectify it. And it's not likely to happen if you're actually with Krishna. Okay, another evidence from Prabhupada. This is from a morning walk. Conversation, April 15, 1975. Prabhupada says, the fools think that one cannot talk with God. But God says, Janma Karma, the devotees come to me. Then what will you do there? He'll talk or not talk. I mean, when you get to the spiritual world. Devotee says, there he'll talk, but we are so insignificant. Why should God waste his time talking to us? Prabhupada, yes, because you are his sons. Although you are insignificant, you are God's sons. For he likes to talk with his sons, just like a small child. Everyone knows that he cannot talk, still father tries to make him talking, to enjoy. Mayapur Chandradoya Temple is teaching all these fools and rascals how to talk with God. That is our mission. And that same point is a purport in the Srimad Bhagavatam 1844. The Lord smiled on hearing the prayers of Kunti Devi. Kunti Devi has prayed to enumerate a fragment of his glories. No amount of chosen words is sufficient to enumerate the Lord's glories, and yet he is satisfied by such prayers as the father is satisfied even by the broken linguistic attempts of the growing child. The same example of the prayer not being very expert, but the affectionate Lord, Father, likes to hear. And another one, how devotees like to express their minds to Krishna. Srila Rupa Goswami has therefore said that by affection and love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, devotees can express their mind to him with their words. Others, however, cannot do this, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktyamam Abhijanati Yavanyas Chasmitaka. So that's bhakti. Prayers come from having bhakti and wanting and being able to talk with Krishna. If somebody questions personal prayer, we can say that's because you cannot do it because you don't have bhakti. But don't say that it's not a bona fide practice or anything like that. I raised the question, what does Prabhupada say about personal prayer? And I've given you some quotes. It's not an exhaustive list. You could go on and on. As I say, it's like an open secret in it. But you have to find it in his books. He hasn't put it all in one place. He hasn't written an essay about it and so on. But he said it in different ways. Now I want to go back to those categories that I put on the board yesterday. Praise, thanks, making requests, and asking forgiveness. We went through them with Shastric prayers. Now I'm going to talk a little bit about if you want to practice personal prayer, you can just, you don't have to think in categories, you can just say whatever you want. But when you begin to practice, you may start to say, all right, I think I'll practice some prayer, I'll talk to Krishna. But before you know it, the mind has put you into some daydreaming and you're not praying to Krishna. So you may want to keep these things in mind and think, well, let me think in terms of praise, or let me think in terms of thanks, and go from one to the other, just as guides until such time as you could actually think in a concentrated way for more than a few seconds of actually talking to Krishna, and this will help you. So the first, discuss briefly praise. Now I want to make the point that Shastra and personal prayers are mixed sometimes. They're not so in airtight compartments that they never come together, because everything that we know about Krishna that Prabhupada has taught us, it comes from the scriptures. And so you learn it for a while, and then when you start to speak on your own, it's inevitable that you'll become that you'll express yourself with references to what you've heard in the scriptures. You may paraphrase, or you may just, as we discussed yesterday, you have made a personal, a Shastric verse so much yours that it's just your prayer. You can't think of a better prayer for asking relief from family attachment, for example, than Queen Kunti's prayer for that. So it's your prayer, 100%. So this mixture is there. There's nothing to be worried about. Now, I wanted to give an example. I wrote like an example of how it mixes, which would be a personal prayer. We may say, my dear Lord Krishna, I wish to praise you and worship you. I know that Lord Brahma states that you are the Ishvara Parama Krishna, and you yourself declare in Bhagavad Gita that no truth is beyond you. I also wish to worship, and I am pleased to do so every day when I see you in our temple as Sri Sri Radha Damodar. Please accept my humble obeisances and allow me to worship you always and to spread your glories by distributing Prabhupada's books. So the references here are very personal, but they're filled with the person's individual service and the deity in his temple. But the Shastra is, we should have Shastra in our blood by now. The more the better. But it should be in the blood, not just in the head, or I don't know exactly what I mean by the blood, in the heart or in the spirit, not just with all respects to the Gurukul children, as they sometimes, when they recite and then they don't know at all what it means, as happened in Dallas when Prabhupada asked them to recite, but then they couldn't explain any of it. Right. Now, before going on with the praise and the other categories, now I want to talk a little bit more about that practical point. I gave this course before over the summer in Italy, and I gave a different fourth lecture. I gave a lecture called One Person's Prayer Session, and I've written a little book based on this course, and that chapter is there, One Person's in which I describe in a rather detailed way how you can actually take time as a particular act and render personal prayers. But for this course, I've changed it, that fourth lecture, which contains only part of that. And one reason I did it is I don't want to teach my method as if there's a method that I have that should be taught. I think it's a personal thing, and you can find your own method. But I do want to indicate, at least here, that it does take time and it does take practice if you want to do it. And but that method that I did explain, if you're interested, it's there in that supplementary reading. Another reason, perhaps not just myself, but why some of you may not so freely talk about personal prayer is it's a very personal thing. Perhaps there's nothing more intimate or personal to someone than their way of talking to Krishna. They may have a way and they never even thought of sharing it with other people, because it's just not something that you tell other people, even though it was very much a part of their life. I'll give an example of this. It was I printed in Among Friends that one uninitiated bhaktin wrote me a letter about prayer. She said, "Recently a devotee friend of my husband's received a letter from you. In it you told him he should pray to Krishna for spiritual strength. He sort of laughed and asked my husband, 'How do you pray to Krishna?' My husband didn't answer him. I was there and I just listened, and after that I reflected a lot on my own life. I thought about the fact that I do pray a lot. As soon as my eyes opened, I prayed to Krishna for health and strength to go on with my day's activities. I thank him for allowing me to see the light of a new day, and I ask him guidance and protection, and most of all to always be engaged in his service and to remember him. It seems as though through the years and through all good and bad times there was only Lord Krishna to turn to, and because of this I developed some faith in him and the understanding that with Krishna all things are possible." Well, that's a very nice practice that was going on in that person's life. My husband told me that he doesn't pray, and he asked me once, "How did I pray?" But I was sort of embarrassed and didn't answer him. So then she has a doubt: am I sentimental in praying, and should I not pray? Is it there's some fear about it? Which is not wrong to ask for guidance about something that we're doing in spiritual life from someone we can trust. Another point is to make is that there's no restriction as to when to do it or how to do it. Like we say about chanting, there's no hard and fast rules. But I'm suggesting that there's a time when you can do it, and then aside from that, then there's all the time to do it, just like we do with 16 rounds. And then Prabhupada said 16 rounds on the beads and innumerable rounds off the beads. Or we say that we tell people not to chant your 16 rounds while you're driving the car, as some people still do, because you can't really pay attention to both things at once. And so, but you can chant at any time, including driving the car. So similarly, this kind of personal prayer, no restrictions. But I was asked a question the other day in a lecture. Someone said, I heard that you're not supposed to chant in the bathroom. I said, who said that? I said, what if you die in the bathroom? And then they said, well, but you shouldn't bring your beads in, right? I said, yeah, you shouldn't bring your beads in. But he said, well, I heard that you shouldn't even chant when you're in the bathroom. But there are no such restrictions. Rather, that's not our problem. Our problem is turning it on, not turning it off. So as much as you always forget, if you can start to remember that, it will be good. Now I want to give some more reasons why we should do this, a personal prayer. Although when we speak to Krishna, praising him and other things, it is not Uttama Shloka. But Krishna is interested in our devotion, not in our Vaishnava scholarship or expertise or Sanskrit. Now, I said in the first class that if you didn't feel at ease with personal prayer, that your whole life of prayer could be just quoting shastras. But now I'll say that I don't think that that's really advisable. Because if you never express yourself personally, there may be a tendency to hide behind the shastric prayers, so that you don't really come out in your soul with your soul or yourself before Krishna, but you're always reciting ideal, supermost pious, expert sentiments, expertly composed sentiments, and Krishna doesn't hear from you. To give an example of how that would be inadequate for your, not in terms of a prayer, but in terms of your relationship with Krishna, can you imagine having a friend with whom you only spoke something, only quotes? You put one quote after another from Shakespeare or from the Vedas or from something else. Where's the personal relationship? Why don't you talk sometimes instead of just, it would be very, very strange to have only canned sentiments that already been packaged or by somebody. Why, it would indicate a very strange mentality, being afraid to actually open up and to have a personal relationship, afraid of reality or something like that. You couldn't really have a friendship. So even if we are babyish, Krishna wants to talk with his sons and daughters, and so that means we have to do that. We have to be honest and come out with the less than Uttama Shloka. So again, to give an example, I wrote some prayer with some honesty in it that you might give on a particular morning. My dear Lord Krishna, I'm distracted today by what so-and-so said to me, and my body is also sick, so I don't feel much like praying. But please help me. I really do want to serve you if I had sufficient strength. So that's not going to qualify as one of the Brahma Samhita prayers. But I don't feel very much like praying. But that's maybe what you have to say. That's you may have to start with that to really make an honest prayer. And then, because we do want to glorify Krishna, then we will go to the beautiful shlokas we know, that we feel for, or we'll express ourselves. You have to start with where you're at, as is a good maxim always. And Krishna will accept you from where you're at, too. He's promised us that always. He's more compassionate than we are disqualified. And sometimes you hear that, somebody saying, oh, Krishna, he wouldn't doesn't want to hear from me, or he wouldn't understand, I'm too low. That's not a humble statement. That's a kind of unloving doubt. You should be confident. I like that phrase we found in the synonyms this morning with Prahlad. He had so many reasons not to go ahead and pray, son of a demon and so on. But he gave up the contemplation of being unfit, vigata viklava. All right, so going on in the categories, thanks or gratitude. If you start to practice, this isn't hard to feel grateful, because everything material and spiritual is given to us by Krishna. Some of the things I think of regularly, I thank Krishna for sending Srila Prabhupada, and the Hare Krishna mantra. How could I possibly have any spiritual life but by this wonderful method of chanting and by the guidance of the pure devotee? You can elaborate on that and think about it. Also, I think every day about what I was and how he came and picked me up from that and helped me. Again, this nothing is a formality, but we have to feel these things if we want to be thankful. And it's good. It's good for the heart to be thankful and not be ungrateful. Ungrateful person, he takes anything that somebody offers and just consumes it and doesn't think of the care and the love that went into the service or the offering that somebody did. Ingrate. So we should be thankful to Krishna. I heard a nice example. One person I was just visiting, he was wants to become a doctor, so he's going to medical school, or you go to pre-med, and then the big step, which is very hard to attain, is to get accepted in the medical school. Not everybody can do that. So he was in Vrindavan 2 years ago, and he went on the parikram, and he prayed to Krishna, if I can go get into medical school. And no, not exactly like that, but he said, although Krishna knows what's on his mind, he said, if I do get into medical school, I'll definitely come. I will come back again in 2 years and do this parikram again. What kind of a promise? So anyway, he got accepted into medical school, and so his father said, "I'm very proud of you. So what do you want? I want to reward all your diligence." He said, "I want to go to Vrindavan," and then he explained what he wanted, why he wanted to do it. So we can say, "Oh, that's materially tinged," but what I like about it is that it's. So it was a promise, and he wants to go back to render thanks to Krishna. So he wasn't ungrateful. Of course, better that we are thanking Krishna for things that are sent percent for our devotional service. But perhaps that is, I don't want to make a judgment on that. But it's nice to remember Krishna and to thank Krishna for all that he's given us and all that he is continues to give us. The question comes up, well, what about if we're in distress, how can we thank Krishna for that? But this is a test of our devotion. The Shastras say that Krishna is present at these times also. Here's a purport by Prabhupada. Learned devotees accept even conditions of distress as representing the presence of the Supreme Lord. When a devotee is in distress, he sees that the Lord has appeared as distress, just to relieve or purify the devotee from the contamination of the material world. So maybe we can't thank you, Krishna, for this terrible disease, but thank you that I'm getting out of this what seems like a reverse. There's some good in it. I'm actually developing my desire to get out of this world and go back to Godhead. Our thanks shouldn't be just dependent on thanks for letting things go my way. That's an important distinction. There are some religionists who, their whole idea is you pray to God, always talk to God, and you'll get whatever you want. And we're not advocating that. We're saying, pray to God, talk to God all the time, and you'll get what you want. That is, you'll be with Him all the time. And then no matter what happens, you'll be in bliss, and you'll be protected. A devotee doesn't just tolerate distress, but he feels the presence of Krishna. And this is what we seek more than anything in prayer, to come into the presence of Krishna and to be with Him and to pray to Him. So these are some suggestions, but you'll be inspired to do it in your own way if you start practicing. If you like, I hesitate to pause for questions. I think that someone will ask a question on a very different topic. But if you have any, if you have any question about this specific thing, like prayers, we did prayers of thanks, and then prayers of thanks. If you want to make any comment or a question about that,
I'll ask you the topic.
Okay.
You were saying that we shouldn't feel afraid to pray to Krishna, and that actually, if you're afraid to pray to Krishna, that's almost like an impersonal thing or a non-loving thing.
Yeah.
So one devotee expressed to me that the devotee was feeling, well, Krishna's so big, and this, the Prabhupada's very near and close, and therefore I feel very comfortable praying to Prabhupada, not so comfortable praying to Krishna. So is that a lack or a fault, or should there be an effort to pray?
I would like to reply to that in a category that I have, who to pray to. So I'll just...
Okay.
Anything about thanks, asking Krishna thanks? Okay, then let's stay on that topic. Nirmala?
Yeah. I just, personally, for clarity of feeling in prayer, it's good to pray for forgiveness, because if you pray for forgiveness, then you feel more inclined to pray with more feeling. Otherwise, if you're praying, you have things that you feel that you've made offended, and it's hard to pray.
Hmm. I'm going to address that also. A separate category. As you say, unless you do that, it's hard to go on to other things. Let me go on. The next category is making requests. With this, the problem is not of thinking of things to ask, but of making your prayer consist not entirely of those things. Like we said, Devi, give me this. God is not the order supplier. Prabhupada's prayer is, the only prayer to make to Krishna is, dear Lord, please give me the strength to serve you. Any other prayer, you'll never be happy. But we do have our needs, especially in devotional service. So we should take time and express them to Krishna. Otherwise, if you really have something on your mind like that, who is saying how there's a parallel to this and any very good friendship. This is your best friendship. So again, with a friend, if you really went to see him to borrow some money, but he's your good friend, you're going to have to bring that up. And you probably would as soon as you could. You'd say, no, I'd rather really come over because I really need some money. And he would, because he's a friend, he would say, yeah, I've got it, or I don't have it. But if you just like talk and say, well, it's really bad weather, and go on and on, you, that's on your mind. So we have to express that too, but purify it. That's the idea. Prabhupada says, a pure devotee of the Lord is ashamed to ask anything in self-interest from the Lord, but the householders are sometimes obliged to ask favors from the Lord, being bound by the tie of family affection. So it's recognized that that will be done sometimes. That's 1841 Bhagavatam Purport. And so I have another little like exercise prayer I wrote with that sort of thing in it. My dear Lord, I don't want to be so envious of other devotees, but it keeps coming. You could even put the person's names there. You're envious of so-and-so and so-and-so. And you can even say that, and he did this to me today. That's what a little kid would do. a child. He wouldn't come into the father and crying and say, what's the matter? Well, I've been thinking that certain persons have a tendency to be envious to him. He would say, Billy hit me. He hates me. So then you would go on with the father's care, that he would dry your tears and he would talk with you about it. I don't want to be envious of other devotees, but it keeps coming. Please help me. Please protect my vows. I want to be a devotee, and so on. I'm helpless without you. Requests. And one question comes here, if God knows everything, why should we pray? Some of these come close to actually being atheist jokes. The atheists have a whole stock of jokes for about theists. They pray, but they're just praying to themselves, hearing their own voices, and nobody answers. Some of them are good jokes, but bad theology, or bad consciousness. I won't repeat them. But this is more, you could say, just a doubt. If God knows everything, why pray to him? But Krishna certainly knows everything, but he's pleased if we approach him. He says, as they approach me, I respond. It's not bothering Krishna, it's being his confidential devotee. As Prabhupada said, in addition to the give and take of service, you should express your mind. So then going to the next category, asking forgiveness. We can learn how to do this, like we learn everything, from the Uttama Shlokas. But don't just recite them as a substitute for our own self-examination and regret. Self-examination is particularly sometimes painful and a searching thing. So it's not completed just by reciting a verse, although the verse can give you very good ideas. Yes, Rupa Goswami has done it perfectly already. More humbly than you and better than you. But Krishna is waiting to hear from you. So Srila Prabhupada urges us to do this in one purport. He says, it is the duty of a pure devotee to regret his past sinful activities in illicit sex, intoxication, meat-eating, and gambling. Not only should one give up his past bad habits, but he must always regret his past sinful acts. This is the standard of pure devotion. That's a very interesting statement. Because it is in the past and the karma is gone, we sometimes think, well, that has nothing to do with that anymore. But here he says, when you come before Krishna, you should think, I'm really sorry that I've done all those horrendous things. Now I'm in devotional service. Please don't let me go back into that. And I just feel regret about it. A little later, Prabhupada writes, devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement should also be conscious of the difference between our present and past conditions and should always be careful not to fall from the most exalted life. That's the sins that we committed before we became devotees, and also our general failure now to be a better devotee. That would perhaps be even more weighing on our minds and hearts. That I'm not breaking the four rules, but I'm not a bold preacher. I'm not a friend to other devotees, and so on and so on. All your lackings. Here's like a real nice quote by Prabhupada on this. And something he said, this is humbleness. If you go on thinking, oh, I did not perform this duty nicely, I should have done it this way, then you will improve. Our love for Krishna keeps growing as long as we think that we are not doing the most for Krishna and that we must do more. If you think, I did this wonderfully, I'm such a nice and sincere devotee, this is not good, there'll be no improvement. All sins unwillingly committed by a devotee are burnt in the fire of repentance. That's from 119.1 purport, where Maharaj Pariksit felt repentant about what he had done. Just a sincere regret made him purified, and the willingness to accept his reaction. I also found something in this essay called Pancha Samskar by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which was printed in the ISKCON Journal. He was talking about the inner meaning of renunciation, and he talked about tapa. And I'll just read one phrase from it. The word, in English, we define the word tapa as repentance, atonement, and the permanent impression of higher sentiment on the soul. Without tapa, or inner repentance, the soul cannot live as a Vaishnava. Therefore, good friends, seek atonement without delay. Without tapa or inner repentance, the soul cannot live as a Vaishnava. So prayer is not always an easygoing thing. There's tapasya in prayer, and this is part of the tapasya, to feel regret. And then it's hoped that out of this, you'll you make some resolution that I'm going to go now and I'm going to rectify that. I'm going to say you stole something. I'm going to give back what I stole. So that would be a real turning point, or something more subtle than that in terms of dealings with other people. You come out of these prayer sessions with some rectification, and if not, at least a willingness to try for that, because so many things about us that aren't good are hard to change. All right, I'll go on now. So that question that Murlivadaka Prabhu raised, I'd like to raise that. Who to pray for? Should we pray sometimes to Srila Prabhupada? Or if to Krishna, which incarnation? To Lord Chaitanya? To the temple Archavigraha? I think the answer is individual. That according, as long as it's Vishnu Tattva or a pure devotee, you may pray to one or you may pray to the other. And devotees do that. I can tell personally that when I tried to practice this, I had a confusion for a while. Should I pray to Prabhupada or Krishna? And I thought, oh, I just pray to Krishna. That doesn't seem right. I'm so presumptuous. So many verses say you can't go to Krishna. So then, but then on the other hand, that's the whole idea, to pray to Krishna. And Prabhupada says, pray to Krishna. If I just pray to Prabhupada, then maybe I don't have my relationship with Krishna, which he advises. I got off the confusion by just praying to them both. And I don't do it like a theologian, that I have these categories, exact categories in my mind. But I can defend it by saying it just seems right that they're very close to each other. And if sometimes I talk to Krishna only, I'm sure Prabhupada is pleased that I'm finally doing that. And certainly if I talk with him, that's right. So I keep them both very close, and often just like keep them in the same sentence. My dear Prabhupada, dear Krishna. That reminds me of something else about words. That do we ever express prayers not in words? That we may, like we've expressed prayers by cooking. And just by thinking in a prayerful way. We mentioned this morning that what I had heard Narayan Maharaj said, that in an advanced stage of deity worship, it's not called achana, it's called seva. And you're just thinking, will Krishna like this particular peacock feather in his turban or not? And it's done in a very personal way. So that, especially in this broad concept of vandanam, that kind of talking to Krishna or serving Krishna, it may not just be, it's not a composition of words, thoughts and words. We have to, want to be careful of this, because we don't say that spiritual truths cannot be expressed in words. Rabindranath Prabhu has done this very well and explained this well in his lectures on Mayavadi philosophy, how the Mayavadis say the Absolute is beyond words. But we say when the words come from the Absolute, then they do reveal Krishna as far as he can be revealed. But I don't think we have to think that if at every minute I'm not manufacturing some words, that there's no possibility of prayer. But it's we say that there are two birds on the tree, and the one bird has to turn to Krishna. So it's like a turning of yourself to Krishna and saying, I know you're there, here I am. Sometimes the words don't carry the whole thing. And you think of Prabhupada, you think of Krishna, and pray to them. But I answer that question, who to pray to, by telling you my own case, and saying in general it's an individual thing. You can go through the spiritual masters and be confident that the prayer is not like the agnostic definition in the dictionary, a remote or slim chance. And there's a nice quote by Prabhupada about that. This is in a letter, April 27, 1970. Regarding your question, are the spiritual master and grand spiritual master consciously aware of the sincere devotee who prays in love to them? The answer is, no conscious prayers go in vain. They are transmitted positively. But one thing you must know, that any prayer you offer to your spiritual master or superior spiritual master, all of them are conveyed to Krishna. So no sincere prayers go in vain. We shall always offer such prayers to spiritual master, superior spiritual master, Vaishnava Acharyas, Lord Chaitanya, and at the end, Radha Krishna. That is the system. Be confident then. No, it's not to me. April 27, 1970. I forget who it was to. One final point, and then I'll leave some time for questions. We're supposed to stop at 20 after, right?
Yes.
You know, well, I don't think I'll add that other point tomorrow about praying for others, and then tomorrow we, other than that, we'll do the Hare Krishna mantra. All right, so I'll take questions. Jamil.
In the category of thanks, I quite often find myself on sacred time being very thankful that you bought a book after maybe 2, 3, 5 minutes, sometimes it seems like an hour, of trying to convince them of the importance of Bhagavad Gita. And so I really said, thanks, Krishna, you know, I really like it. Now, we have a saying that familiarity breeds contempt. Can this hold true with our prayer to Krishna? Can we become too familiar?
Well, I think your question involves not just familiarity, but a whole other point. And that is, and you brought it up in the first question you asked, when you're on Sankirtan, you say you're being harassed by some demon, you pray Krishna, get this guy out of here. And that is, should we pray for direct results in our service? So in the question you just asked, you got the results and then you're feeling, thank you, Krishna. So I would say we should be careful to thank Krishna just for that he bought the book. You should, when you get rejected, then you also have to thank Krishna, that thank you for still allowing me the strength to go on with this service, and thank you for humbling me. So I don't think you can get, you can get too familiar, but not if we do it in the right way, then we can continue to be with Krishna as much as possible. So I think the contemptuous familiarity is when we are putting before Krishna too many material desires. That would be it. And depending on that, thank you, Krishna. That question, is that a material desire that I wanted him to buy that book? No, it's spiritual, but it could be that I want to do so many books. And so I pray to Krishna. I bring that question up later in the questions and answers. A question would be, is it wrong to ask Krishna, let me do 50 books today? It's all for him. So that question could be answered by persons in different ways, but I tend to think we shouldn't ask Krishna like that. Just ask him to engage us in his service on this particular day, and we want to do as much as we can for him. Please let us try our best and accept what he gives. But if you feel that after you make a real effort and somebody buys a book, and you really feel that Krishna was there, thank you, Krishna. Well, that's good. But just don't try to squelch that, but try to bring it up at the other time too. So it's not talking less to Krishna, but doing it at all times in all situations. Oh, getting a lot of questions. Good. I'm really glad for you.
I just have a question. You mentioned the idea of praying to superior spiritual masters. So, is that some reason I have the impression that we shouldn't necessarily directly approach the superior spiritual masters? Or I've heard it said, unconfirmed, Prabhupada said that, well, on the appearance and disappearance day, my spiritual master can pray directly to
me. I've heard that too.
So that would seem to indicate that on other days he can't.
Mm.
On the other hand, you know, he's sometimes, if I'm reckoning, the praying for Rupa Goswami, he's supposed to.
Yeah, when we read Nectar Devotion, we are directly worshipping Rupa Goswami. In this letter, it seems to indicate that it goes in parampara. I think in terms of Srila Prabhupada, that everyone can, that he's not just a param guru to the devotees in ISKCON, but he's the Shiksha guru and he's the founder chart. So prayers can be direct to him with the blessings of the spiritual master. Your spiritual master will no doubt advise you to do that. And it's a little hard to... Well, it would seem a little strange, say, for a disciple of Srila Prabhupada to consistently be praying directly to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Why? He is your grand spiritual master, and he'll give you all kindness, but it's been arranged that you go to him through Prabhupada. If you have some really... I like a lot of devotees, they have a particular affection for Bhakti Vinod Thakur or Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. But then you should go through Prabhupada in your meditation and then go to him. Yes?
Srila Prabhupada has given us through Srimad Bhagavatam. And so I've been reading since it came out about Jalabara. And I've been at some period, I've been very much absorbed in that story of Jalabara. And the point that you made about sometimes we pray to be with Krishna. So it seems that sometimes I want to pray to Jagannath to be with him because he has a certain mood that I need.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done. And what happened is that the Shapalka that I know, and it becomes more, I become more close to Srila Prabhupada because another aspect of Srila Prabhupada becomes revealed.
Hmm.
But
it sounds good to me that you're having those results. And where did you hear about Jad Bharat except from Srila Prabhupada and his presentation of Srimad Bhagavatam? You came to appreciate him in that way. I would just do it by making reference to Prabhupada, that you say, you pray intentionally, thinking of Jad Bharat and his mood, and then maybe say, Srila Prabhupada, you know that I want this, and I hope that it is authorized by you, and it seems to be good. Please guide me in this. I want to worship like Jad Bharat. And it's like, so Prabhupada knows, he knows what you're doing, that you have an irresistible desire to do this particular worship, which is within Krishna consciousness, but he didn't perhaps tell you to do it. There are many things like that. And so I would say you go ahead and do it and simultaneously always, you know, request his blessings and show him that you're using the results to become a better follower of Prabhupada through Jad Bharat. Whatever good you get, bring it to that point. All right, I don't want to be late for the next speaker. So we'll take up again tomorrow. Thank you.